The shiur yesterday, we are beginning today. Today's daf is Pei Beis 82. We are picking up four lines down from the bottom, the Egla Arufa. So if you remember again, the Mishnah was going through the situations ultimately again where you do not create, or I should say, a Osovi Espino situation is not created. And one of the, so the Mishnah went through a series of cases. So for example, one of the cases was, well, actually Machlokes, Egla Arufa. So remember again, Egla Arufa is the situation where you find a person who was murdered in between two cities. The elders of the closest city come out, engage in this practice called Egla Arufa, the decapitating calf, where they decapitate a calf in the middle of a dry riverbed. So remember, again, we had a machlokes in the Mishnah. If you go ahead and you shech the Egla Arufa and its offspring, are you chayiv for Osovi Espino? So Chachamim said that you're chayiv. Rabbi Shimon said that you're potter. Now, Rabbi Shimon's logic is, remember, again, we got a sneak preview last week at Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon holds Shchita She'ina Re'uya Lo Shma Shchita. That any shechita ultimately, again, that does not create or does not result in an ability to consume the animal is not called a valid shechita. And Rabbi Shimon's idea is, if it's not called a valid shechita, you can't be in violation of Osovi Espino. Why not? Because the pasuk itself says, Osovi Espino lo sishchatu biyom echad. Only if there is shechita, ultimately, again, can there be a prohibition? No shechita, no prohibition. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Egla Arufa lav shechita ru'uyi. Is that true that an Egla Arufa ultimately, again, is not a shechita ru'uya? Vatran, we learned, nimtza ha'ragacho ta'arif ha'egla. Suppose it's actually an interesting case. What happens if, remember, the whole process of Egla Arufa is only a situation if you don't know who the murderer is. Let's say they separated out the calf. They separate out the calf. And what happens? Before they decapitated the calf, halacha lamaisa, again, they find the murderer. So what happens in such a situation like that? So what's the halacha? Teitse v'tira be'eder. So the halacha is ultimately, again, they go ahead and they allow the calf to go out and graze. So take a look at Rashi. V'tira be'eder, Rashi says, Kishar chulin alma einon ha'aseres mechaim. So let's listen to this. What that means is they go ahead and they allow the calf to go out to pasture, which I would say tells you what? That calf ultimately, again, is not aser until when? Or I should say, does it become an egla roof until when? Until you actually decapitate it. So if that's the case, if you shecht an egla arufa, right? Ultimately, again, the shechita should be a good shechita, and therefore, again, it should be subject to Osovi Espino, to which the Gemara says, "Mishnah Lakish, Mishnah B'yanai, Egla Arufa Eina Mishnah." So we'll say, "Ina Chinami Reish Lakish says in the name of Rabbi B'yanai, Egla Arufa should be deleted from this Mishnah. Egla Arufa shouldn't be in this grouping." And in fact, the halacha is that by Egla Arufa, if you shecht it, it would in fact be subject to Oso V.S. Bino. Is there table service? Is there a table service here? Okay, because, all right, I'm saying I didn't. Okay, so the Gemara says as follows. Umi amar Rabbi Yanai hachi. Did Rabbi Yanai actually say this? Did Rabbi Yanai actually make this statement? So remember again, what we're holding right now is a suggestion that in fact, Egla Arufa should not be included in the listing of the Mishnah. Because we'll say, Alocha Lamaisa, Egla Arufa, in fact, again, if you discover the murder prior to the decapitation of the calf itself could actually be set out to graze, which indicates to us that until the point of decapitation, the calf can have a valid shechita. So, Miyama Rabbi Yanai, Hachid, Rabbi Yanai really say this? V'ha'ama Rabbi Yanai, Gvul Shamati, Bava Shachachti, it's actually such an interesting Gemara. So Rabbi Yanai says, you know, Gvul Shamati, which means that I learned, at what point in time the Egla Arufa becomes Aser, but what happens? V'shachachti, I forgot when that is, right? I forgot when I learned it. So we'll say, which by the way, is such a beautiful Gemara, because what does this tell you? What's the lesson here? Right, such a lesson in humility. You know, first of all, again, even very smart people forget stuff, and there's nothing wrong with saying you don't know. There's nothing wrong with saying I forgot. So Gvul Shamati V'shachachti, Rabbi Osir, listen to this. V'naspin chavar yolomar, but my friends reminded me. We'll say another important lesson, which is, have good friends. You know, we'll say, a lot of us have friends who reminds us of stuff. often it's of the stuff we don't want to be reminded of. Remember when you did that, right? I remember when you did this, remember, or other. So we'll say it's good to have friends who remind you about your learning when you forget it. So my friends told me, Lomar, Yiridasa Lenachal Isan Osarta. Ultimately, and we'll say, when does the egla become usur? When it's taken down into the ravine. When it's led down into the ravine, the misana, if this is true, then Rabbi said, what we should have done is, lishni kan kodem yirida, kan la'achar yirida. Rabbi said, we could have made a distinction between the braisa and the Mishnah. The Mishnah that says, egla arufa is not subject to osov yes, but no. That would be talking about a case where it's already led down into the ravine, therefore already has the status of egla arufa, and therefore even if you shecht it, that would be called a shechita she'ina re'uya. Versus the braisa, that says the egla is subject ultimately to what? Is subject to osovi espino, would be a case where halacha lemaisa, it's prior to being led down to the ravine. To which the Gemara says, Pinchas Berei Drabi Ami. So ultimately, Pinchas Berei Drabi Ami says, Mishmei Drib Shimon Lakish, Masninon Le Egla Arufa Eina Mishnah. Ultimately, I'm going to say another suggestion. You're right, take Egla Arufa out of our listing in the Mishnah. Amr Rabashi, Rabashi says, Ki Avina Beira Papa, Kashilon, Miyamar Rabbi Shimon Lakish Achi. Did Rabbi Shimon Lakish really say that Egla Arufa doesn't belong in the Mishnah? Va itmar sipori mitzora mei masai ne'esarin. Yet Rabbi said, we learned, at what point in time do the birds of a mitzora become asur? Let's remember again, a mitzora brings birds as part of his offering. At what point in time do the birds become asur? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mishash Shechita. Rabbi Yochanan says from the time of Shechita, only once you shecht it ultimately again do they become asur. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Amar Mishash Lekicha. And Rabbi Lakish says from the time that you purchase them. The Rabbi said, obviously, from the time that you purchase them is a much earlier point in time than the time of the Shechita. The Amrinan, and we say, my time with Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Rabbi say, what's Rabbi Lakish's logic? Why would the birds become asur already Mishash Lekicha? Gamar kicha kicha me egla arufa. Ultimately, what happens? You make a gzer shava of kicha kicha from egla arufa. Rabbi said, that teaches me what? Just as egla arufa will be usur from the time ultimately that it's quote unquote purchased, or better stated, time that it's designated, so too tzipori mitzora will become usur from the time that they are purchased slash designated. So Rabbi says, so what do you see from here? You see that the Reish Lakish holds that the egla arufa really has the status of egla arufa as of when? As of when? Already from the time that it is purchased slash designated, right? Which is much earlier than what we were suggesting before, that according to Reish Lakish, egla arufa doesn't become asr, mamash until the time of decapitation, to which the Gemara says, you're right. Ella, amra b'chia bar abba, amra b'yochanan, egla arufa eina mishnah. Rather, Rabbi Yossi, what you have to say is as follows. It's not Reish Lakish, rather, it's Rabbi Chiya bar Abba in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Egla Arufa does not belong in the Mishnah. So we'll say, so bottom line, what we end off with over here is, although the Mishnah records Egla Arufa in this grouping, there's a fundamental machlokes, does Egla Arufa belong in this grouping or not? And what that fundamental machlokes is rooted in is what? At what point in time, ultimately, does Egla Arufa become Asr? At what point in time does the calf become considered as an egla arufa? So Rabbi says, so we see a multiple machlokes. Just so you should know, the way the Rambam paskins is yiridasa lenachal. Once that egla is taken down to the dry riverbed to shecht it, its descent into the riverbed ultimately solidifies its identity as egla arufa. Which Rabbi says tells you watch. Which tells you what? Which tells you number one, even if you were to find the murderer prior to decapitation, the calf would still have the status of egla arufa. And for our purposes, what it means is as follows. If you were to take that egla down into the ravine, and even if you did not yet decapitate it, and you were to go ahead and shecht the mother and child, let's say then you shecht the egla and this child on the same day, the child would not be asr alts oso vs bino. Because ultimately, again, once it has its egla arufa identity, or at least I should say, according to Reb Shimon, it wouldn't be chay for oso vs bino, because that would be a shechita she'ina re'uya. We don't paskin like Reb Shimon anyway. We paskin ultimately, again, like the Chachamim. So that's really the takeaway from this. Takeaway from this is that we paskin like the Chachamim, and even in all of these cases mentioned in the Mishnah, for example, Hashochet v'nimtei Shochet la'avod zara parach chatos shor haniskal egla arufa. In all of these cases, Rabbi said we paskin like the Chachamim. Like you saw in yesterday's Mishnah, that even a shchita she'ina ru'uya is shmei shchita. So even if you have a situation where the shchita does not result in a license to consume the mother, halacha lemaaseh, the child will still be subject to oso v'yespeno. Good. New Mishnah. Shnayim shalachu para ubna. Rabbi says it's a very interesting case. What happens? You have two people. Reuven and Shimon. So let's start with this. You have a mother and a son. A mother and a ben. Two people purchase the animal. One person purchases the mother. One person purchases the child. So once I say, interestingly enough, I want to point out, I'm sure you understood this, but it's important to articulate. The halacha of osov yespeno is a din in the animals, not a din in the owner. So, you know, the classic case we think about osov yespeno is how one person owns the mother and the calf. That's how we normally think about it. One person owns both. So if I shecht the mother, I can't shecht the calf on the same day. What the Mishnah now points out is the following. Even about, say, if two people own the animals, one person owns the mother, one person owns the calf. What's the halacha? Essentially, they have to coordinate, right? They cannot shecht their respective animals on the same day. So who gets the shecht first? So watch this. Shnayim shalachu paro b'na. This is a great case. Two people, right? Call them Reuven and Shimon. Reuven buys the mother. Shimon buys the child, the offspring. Eze shalakach rishon yishchat rishon. So Rabbi say, who gets to eat fleshiks tonight? And who's stuck eating milchiks? Nebuch. Right? Rabbi say, whoever purchased first gets the right to shecht first. Eze shalakach rishon yishchot rishon. However, vim kada masheni zacha. But if the second guy, right, if Shimon was a bit more zoriz, right, and shechted the child before Reuven got a chance to shecht the mother, so ultimately, again, Shimon's eating fleishiks and Reuven has to eat milchiks tonight. Some Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef says, le'inyin dina tnan. So we'll say, remember, again, all of this, halacha lemaisa, is not a din in Isser and Heter, but rather ultimately, again, it's a halacha. Meaning, if you look at Rashi, le'inyan dina tanan, Rashi says, hadik tani masnisin misha lakach rishon yishchat rishon, lav le'inyan Isser v'Heter, shemrata sheni lishchot rishon, v'arishon yamtin ad mochar mutter, aval dinhu im ba'u lebezdin. See, we'll say, the Gemara just points out over here, this is not a din in osov yespeno. Rather, again, this is just a din when you have two people who have a dispute, who gets the shecht first, right? They're showing up in Beis Din. Reuven and Shimon are showing up in Beis Din. Reuven bought the mother, Shimon bought the child, and they have a machlokes in halacha, who should get to shecht their animal first. That's the machlokes over here. So says the Gemara, how do you determine who gets to shecht first? So therefore, again, Rashi says, so if you finish that Rashi, so they show up in Beis Din. The guy who purchased the mother says, I need to shecht more. The guy who purchased the child says, I need to shecht more. So who does Beis Din paskin like? So what do we say? On the Omrim Lahem, I'll say first of the white lies in Rashi. On the Omrim Lahem, Halokeach Rishon Yishchot. Shalmanas King Lokach, Shilo Machra Balabai. So again, essentially Beis Din says, whoever bought the animal first gets to shecht first. That's it. It's a simple idea. But so we'll say, therefore, the Gemara goes on. Tana, im kadam asheni. But I will say, if the second purchaser shechts first. So we'll say, so again, remember, simple case. Reuven's buying the mother, Shimon's buying the child. Reuven bought first, Shimon bought second. Who gets the right to shecht their animal first? Reuven. It's a simple din, Rabbi Yosef, just straightforward halacha, that again, since he purchased first, he gets to shecht first. But says the Gemara, what happens if Shimon is quicker to the draw, right? What happens if Shimon shechts his animal first? What happens under those circumstances? Im kadam asheni, hare ze zoriz v'niskar. Rabbi Yosef, but if Shimon shechts first, he's zoriz. Zoriz literally means what? Alacritus, I don't know if that's a word, but right, Alacritus, he got Zvizos, Viniskar. Niskar means he is rewarded, right? So it says, what does that mean? Zor is the law of the surah. Zor is what we'll say in that again, he's not done anything wrong. Very, very important halacha. He has not done anything wrong, meaning he hasn't violated anything by shechting his animal first. Viniskar, Zarzla Avari Surah, Viniskar de Ka'achal Bisra. I'm going to say, what does Niskar mean? He's going to be rewarded? Dinner. Right? That's what it's called. He's eating fleishiks. So I'll say, so again, I always like these kind of games. I'll say, isn't it nice? Sometimes, you know, you learn something, no one argues, everything is b'shalom, everybody's happy. And it's good for everybody. It's good to see Jews happy. So we'll say, so again, straightforward halacha, two people buy the animals, one buys the mother, one buys the child. Whoever bought first gets the shecht first. But look, listen, if the second guy was quicker to the shechita knife, and he shechts before the first, then ein achinami kadam v'zariz, or zariz v'kadam, or zariz v'niskar. And again, the first guy will have to wait until tomorrow to shecht his animal. Good, that's it. Next Mishnah, Shachat Parabos. I see, here we go. This actually, now we get into a variation of really fascinating cases. So Shachat Parah. Shachat Parah. V'achar kach shnei banel. So we'll say, watch this case. You shacht the mother. Nebo say, now interestingly enough, in this case, the mother has two children. The mother has two children. So what happens? You shacht the mother, and then afterwards you shacht two children. What's the halacha? Sofeg shmonim. You get 80 malkis. Why 80 malkis, Rabbi Osai? Two sets. In other words, you get malkis for each child. Meaning, since you shacht the two children, you are in violation. You have violated the law of Osovi Espino twice. Next, shachat shnei baneha ba'achakach shachta. Rabbi Osai, listen to this reverse case. Let's say you shacht the two children and then you shacht the mother. What's the halacha? Sofeg es harboim. In that case, interestingly enough, you will only go ahead and get one set of malchus. Sofeg es harboim. Shachta ve'es bita ve'es bak bita. Suppose it's another interesting case. You shacht the mother, the daughter, and the granddaughter. You just mamish wiped out like homish bacha because you need a piece of steak, right? So what happens? You shacht the mother, the daughter, and the granddaughter. What's the halacha? Sofeg shmonim. Rabbi will say again 80 malchus. Why? When you shecht the mother and then you shecht the daughter, boom, that's one violation. Then when you shecht the granddaughter, so remember again, you've shechted another generation. So remember again, you've shechted two parents and two sets of parents and children in one fell swoop. Therefore, 80 malchus. Sofeg shmonim. Shechta, listen to this case, Rabbi will say, you shecht the mother. Ves bat bita, and the granddaughter. So you shechted the grandmother and the granddaughter. And then va'achar kach shachat bita. Then Abu Sai, the sequence over here is very important. Then you shechted the mother. Then what? Sofeg es harboim. Ultimately, again, you only get one set of malchus. So Abu Sai, see, interestingly enough, what you begin to see over here is as follows. Well, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, Sofeg harboim. Tichad lavhu v'chad asra v'chad maisa. See, Rabbi say, essentially what we do is we look at the act. See, if as opposed to, Rabbi say, as opposed to, let's say again, in the first case of the Mishnah, where you shechted the mother and then you shechted two children, you have committed two acts of oso v'es beno. In these subsequent cases, Rabbi say, so haloch l'maisa, even though, again, you could have a situation where one shechita creates a multi-generational osovi es beno, because the act is only one act, you can never be chayiv more than one set of malchus for one act. So for example, if you shecht the grandmother and the granddaughter, and then what? Then you shecht the middle generation, as much as that middle generation does what? Kind of triggers two, but what? It's only one act. So because it's only one act, halacha lemaisa, you could only be chayav one set of malchus. Very interesting. So the Gemara says, now however, here we go. Sumchus omrishum Rabbi Meir, sofeg shmonim. Sumchus, Rabbi Meir argues on these cases. And Sumchus says that halacha lemaisa, When you have these situations, I will say now the grandmother-granddaughter case is the best example of this. You shecht the grandmother, you shecht the granddaughter. At that moment, what are you in violation of? Nothing. Because remember, again, interestingly enough, Osovi Espino, Mamish only goes parents and children. Even though, interestingly enough, in other areas of halacha, right, remember, again, grandparents are treated like parents, apparently not for Osovi Espino purposes. Rabbi Osei said, now watch this. This is fascinating. So I shecht the grandmother and the granddaughter. Now I shecht the mother. So according to the Chum, what am I in violation of? Right, or I should say, what am I chayiv? Right, 40 malchus. 40 malchus. I will say, let's understand that what I've done. What I've done is I've pulled off a multi-generational Oso V.S. Bino. Right? Right, so I've done an Oso V.S. Bino for the grandmother and for the granddaughter. Because remember, again, that last par that I shecht is the daughter of the first one, the mother of the second one. Even though I have pulled off two Oso V.S. Bino lavim, I'm only going to be chayiv once, because according to the Chachamim, it's one action. You can't be chayiv more than one set of malchus for one action. Sumcha says, not true. Sumcha says, in fact, when you shecht that sandwich generation par, right, the daughter of number one and the mother of number two, you'll be chayiv 80 malchus. 80 malchus. So for reasons that we'll discuss. So the Gemara says, Amai. Now the Gemara actually begins by asking a different question, because this which is what? Up until now, when we spoke about Oso V'Espino, we were always focusing on what kind of case you shecht the mother and then the daughter. The Mishnah introduced us, Rabbi Osei, to the fact that what? Even if you shecht the daughter and then the mother, you're also chayev for that. So the Gemara says, why is that? Oso V'Espino M'rachmana V'lo B'no V'Oso. So the Gemara says, why should you be, so Rabbi Osei, the Pasuk explicitly says, that when are you chayiv if you shecht the mother and the daughter? But I can infer from that, that what? V'lo b'no v'oso? That if you shechted the child first and then the mother, maybe I shouldn't be chayiv for that. To which the Gemara says, lo sachdaitcha, disanya oso v'es b'no. The Pasuk says, the mother and the child, ainli ela oso v'es b'no. I only know that the violation is for the mother and the child. Oso v'es imo, minayin. But say, how do we know that halacha l'maisa, even if you shecht the child first and then the mother afterwards, that you should be chayiv? So the Gemara says, Kishu Omer lo sishchatu. When the Pasuk says, you shall not shecht, Rabbi says, that's plural. Hare kan shnayim ha-ketzot, ha-ketzot, echad ha-shochit es apara, ve-echad ha-shochit es ima, ve-echad ha-shochit es bina, shnayim ha-achronim chayovim. So Rabbi says, essentially the Gemara answers, though we'll challenge in just a moment, the plurality, right, the plural kite of the word tishchatu ultimately teaches me that what? Any variation over here will be chayiv. So whether you shecht the mother and then the child, or you shecht the child and then the mother, halacha l'maisa, you'll be chayiv for oso v'es b'no. Amid beis. We must have one second. Hai mi b'ayle l'gufe. We'll say, ultimately, again, I need tishchatu. We'll say, remember, again, you're dashing that word sishchatu like what? Like what? Like what? Like it's an extra extraneous word. It's not Rav Osai. What does the Pasuk say? Oso v'espino lo sishchatu b'yomechad. Rav Osai, that sishchatu teaches me the ikar halacha, that you're not allowed to shecht the mother and the child on one day. That's not an extraneous word necessarily for a drasha. Imke lichtov lo sishchot. So Gemara says, you're right, but if that's the case, if all the Pasuk was coming to teach me was the prohibition to shecht the mother and the child on the same day, it could have said what? Lo sishchot, singular. My lo sishchatu. What does it mean when it says lo sishchatu, plural? Both say, it must be teaching me what? That Allah is teaching me that what? That whether you shecht the mother and the child and the mother, you're still in violation. Vakatimi boy lay. So we'll say that I still need in front of the drasha. Dikasiv rachmana lo sishchot. If the Torah would have just said lo sishchot, singular, hava amina chad in trei lo, I would have thought that what Rabbi was saying. When does the prohibition of Osovi Espino apply? Only if it's one person shechting both animals. But Rabbi say, let's say it's one person shechting the mother, one person shechting the child. I might have thought that in that case, there's not a prohibition. Therefore, kasev rachman lo sishchatu va'afilu trei. Therefore, the Torah says lo sishchatu, plural, even if what? Two people shechting, right? Even two people shechting. Im kein lo imkein yichto imkein lichtov lo yishchatu. We'll say if that's the case again, write the lashon of lo yishchatu. My lo sishchatu. Now we'll say what's the nature of that lashon lo sishchatu? To which the Gemara says shmamina tarti. Therefore, we'll say I learned both halachas. What are the both halachas? We'll say number one. In fact, by the way, excitingly enough, you could say you learned three halachas. This is very exciting. What are the three halachas? I will say halacha number one, that if you shech the mother on the same day, mother and child on the same day, what's the halacha? You're chayef for osov yespino. Halacha number two, I will say that's what? That whether you shech the mother and then the child, or the child and then the mother, you're chayef. And halacha number three, two people, whether it's one person shechting both the mother and the child, or two people, one checking mother and the child, halacha lemaisa, he will be chayav. We'll say very exciting. I mean, for us, not for them, but very, very exciting for us. So we'll say, let's go weiter. I'm sorry? Yes, so remember again, it's the second person who's chayav. When we say, even if it's two people are chayav, it's only the person who shechts the second of the two animals. Burnt halacha. And by the way, that's of course true, whether it's one person shechting or two people shechting, the one who shechts the second one, either whichever order it is, will ultimately again be chayiv. Shechta ves bas bita. So we'll say, you know, to think about this, it's incredible. It's like a shtiko olam haba. No? No, I'm saying it's a beautiful, my son's out, we have a good coffee, I understand that there's pastries that arrived, right? Wonderful people. It's not much like, sometimes you have to pause, you have to take a step back, you have to say, life doesn't get better than this. Okay, good. I'm happy you all feel the same way. Good. Let's go right there. Shechta ves bas bita. So let's remember again, let's go to the next case. Remember we had a fundamental machlokes in the Mishnah between Sumchos and the Rabbanim. Specifically, again, focusing on the case, specifically centered on the case, where what? Where halacha lemaisa, the following situation. Let's take the situation of Osovi Espinol. Let's take the middle case. Where halacha lemaisa, you shechted the mother animal, and then what happens? The granddaughter. So let's go again. The mother, and then the granddaughter, and then what happens? You then shecht the middle animal there, right? Halacha lemaisa, then you shecht the middle generation one. So remember again, the Chachamim said, halacha lemaisa what? Chachamim said, one set of Malkus, ultimately, again, the Sumchus said two sets of Malkus. So remember again, Sumchus's logic is what? Why two sets of Malkus? One for the first Osovi Espino, the mother and then the child, and then the second one, ultimately, again, for the second Osovi Espino, the mother and then the child. Good. Says the Gemara. I'm really Abayel Rav Yosef. My time with the Sumchus. What's Sumchus's logic that halacha lemaisa get two sets of malchus? Kasaver Sumchus, because Sumchus holds achol shnei zeisei chelev b'he'elam echad. Ultimately, again, if you eat two kezeisim of chelev, b'he'elam echad means in one lapse of awareness. If you look at Rashi, it's the Rashi on the last of the short lines on top. B'he'elam echad shelo noda lo bein saim shechata. I will say, so again, a person consumes two kizesim of chalev, right? And he, behelam echad, right? I'm sorry, shechata b'shok, shelo no dola bein sayim. So I will say, he eats one kizayis of chalev, a second kizayis of chalev, and he eats them both without recognizing his mistake at any point in time. And what happens? B'shogeg, chayiv shtei chatov. So ultimately, again, so I will say, Simchus holds that if you eat two kizesim of chalev, within one lapse of awareness, you will be chayiv twice. So the Gemara says, "Kasarusum was achol shnei zeisei chelev behelam echad chayiv shtei chatos." Ultimately, again, you're chayiv two chatos offerings. Ubedinhu. So both say. So 1 second. So let's start with just a moment. So therefore, both say Sumchus essentially is of the opinion that you could be chayiv for multiple liabilities with one act. See, under normal circumstances, what we would say is the act of consuming two kizesim of chelev within one lapse of awareness is one ongoing act. Sumcha says no. We look at each of those acts of consumption as an independent act of consumption, even though they are occurring within one lapse of awareness. Using that logic, therefore what? Sumchus would say that halacha lemaisa, when you go ahead and you shecht this one animal, which we'll call the sandwich generation animal, which is the daughter of animal number one, and the mother of animal number three, that halacha lemaisa, we look at the dual identity of that animal. Again, it is the daughter of animal number one, the mother of animal number three, and if when you shecht it, you are in fact chayiv twice. You are in fact chayiv twice. So I would say this is Sumchus l'shitasa, who says you eat two kezesim of chayiv. In one lapse of awareness, you're chayiv twice. So the Gemara says, ubedin hu delish mo'inan ba'alma, in reality, right, ultimately, again, Sumchus is halacha, would have been better off being stated in a different context. And I'm both saying, now what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Delishmu'ina ba'alma, heicha de'in gufin mechulakin, kegon b'shnei zeisichil. And I'm both saying, Sumchus's shita is much better expressed, ultimately, again, in a situation where you have one person committing two acts, as opposed to what we call gufin mechulakin. Gufin mechulakin, Abosai, is, for example, in this case over here, where, again, remember, the prohibition is engendered through multiple animals. Meaning, even though this one animal that's being shecht, we'll call it the sandwich generation animal, ultimately has two identities, but really its two identities are caught up in the other two animals as well. That's called gufin mechulakin, where the prohibitions ultimately, again, are focused, halacha lemaisa, or are centered on other distinct animals as well. So we'll say, hear this distinction. In a case where I eat two kizesim of chelev within one helam, one lapse, everything's happening in me. Right? The two prohibitions happening in me, as opposed to this case where Osovi Espino, Rabosa, essentially, you have the multiple prohibitions occurring where? Three different animals involved in this. So Sumchus's idea is most clearly expressed when the prohibitions are centered on one person, as opposed to this case where it's Gufin Mechulokin, Vahaydu Kamash Molon Baha. And what's the only reason it mentions it in this case is why? Lohodi Acha Kochud Rabbanan. To teach us the strength of the rabbi's position, the afagav de gufin mechulakin pachi rabbanan. See, Rabbi said, even though in this case you have what we call gufin mechulakin, three different animals, nevertheless, the rabbanan still say you will only be chayiv one set of malchus. O Dilma, the other possibility is kasavar sumchus achosh nezesi chayiv behelam echad eino chayiv ela achos. Maybe on the other hand, no. Maybe Simchus holds that in fact, if one person consumes two kizesim of chaylev in one lapse of awareness, maybe what? You're only chayev once. V'hacha, haynu taima, and maybe over here, but we'll say by this case, where you shecht the sandwich generation animal, that according to Simchus, you're going to be chayev twice. Why? Haynu taima, hoil v'gufin mechulakin. Oh, maybe it's different over here, why Rabosai? Maybe Sumchus will say that you're chayiv over here twice, why Rabosai? Because there are distinct prohibitions. There's a grandmother and there's a granddaughter. And when you shecht the sandwich generation animal, what have you done? You've triggered the maternal identity of animal number one, and what? And what? The daughter identity of animal number three. That's why Sumchus says that you're chayiv, because it is gufin michulakin. Ultimately, again, they are separate independent entities. Amale, in Kasavar Achosh Nezesi Chelev Behelam Echad Chayiv Shtei Chatos. In reality, Sumchus holds that what? If you eat two Kezesim of Chelev in one lapse of awareness, you will be Chayiv two Chatos offerings. Mimai, we'll say, where do we know that from? It's actually quite interesting. Midisnan, from the following case. Hazoria. Kilayim kilayim logem. We'll say, now listen to this wording. If a person sows kilayim kilayim, you're chayiv. So the Bosei Sidigmar says, what does that mean? My loke. Ilema achos pshita. So we'll say, if you want to say that you're chayiv once, okay. I mean, I don't know exactly what kilayim kilayim means, but if you want to tell me that loke means you're chayiv once, okay. Pshita. Va'od my kilayim kilayim. We'll say, what does the Lashon mean, kilayim, kilayim? Ela pshita beis malchus. Rather, Rabbi Osai, it is clear that what? It means that you're chayiv twice. But my asking on it, so we'll say, what's the case? So now what we're assuming is, what is kilayim kilayim? We'll say, what does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? You've sown kilayim twice. You've sown kilayim twice, and therefore you're chayiv twice. Okay, what's the case? So the Gemara says, b'may atzkinon, ilim b'zeh achar zeh u'b'shtei hasras. So we'll say, if we're talking about the following case, I sowed kilayim twice, and I was warned twice. So we'll say, so what happens? I go ahead and I'm about to sow kilayim, and two witnesses tell me, don't do it, it's kilayim, you're going to be chayiv malchus. And I say, I don't care, I do it. And then again, an hour later, don't do it, it's going to be kilayim. I say, it's a slow Sunday, right? I say, I don't care, and I do it anyway. I'm chayiv twice. So I say, so what's the Hiddush there, right? So Tanina, we learned that Nazir Shaya shows a yain kalayom. Listen to this case, we'll say, a Nazir was drinking wine the whole day, right? This is an interesting case, right? Nazir mamish binge, right? He's just drinking wine the whole day. So what happens? Eino chayiv ela achos. He's only chayiv once for one continuous act of drinking. Amru lo al tishte v'ushosa. Al tishte v'ushosa chayiv al kol achas v'achas. But I will say, if they warn him, keep warning him before each act of drinking, and he nevertheless does it, then what? He's chayiv individual liability. So I will say, so we know that's an obvious case. You don't need to teach me this again by kilayim. So rather, what's the case? El pshita v'bas achos u'basra achas. Rather, I will say, what has to be the case? The case over here is, I'm planting kilayim. Witnesses warned me that planting kilayim is asr. And what do? I engage in multiple individual acts of planting kilayim. And what does the Mishnah say? Or does the Raisa say? I'm chayiv for each act of planting kilayim. So I say, money, whose opinion is this? Ilim rabbanan de pligalei de sumchus. If you want to say it's the rabbis who argue on sumchus. Hashta uma hasam de gufin mechulak in pachi rabbanan. Rabbi say, in a case of Gufin Mechulakin, Rabbi say, which was the case of Osovi Espino, where literally again you have independent animals, and yet there the Rabban, so we'll say, even there the Rabbanon say that you're Pater, all the more so here where it's one person committing the same Aveira over and over and over. So the words, Allah Sumchasi, rather you have to say it's Sumchas, and Rabbi say, what do you see? That Sumchas says that you could be Chayiv ultimately again for multiple acts that are committed in what? In one lapse of awareness. So the Gemara says, El Af Sumchasi, Lo Li Olam Rabbanon. So the Gemara says, no. In reality, it reflects you with the Rabbanon. Umilsav Agav Arche Kamashmo. And I will say, in fact, this price is coming to teach us something fascinating. Agav Arche, I will say, means in passing, kind of, the Gemara is coming to teach us something, which is what? Di'ika Tre Gavni Kilayim. And I will say, actually, the lesson being taught over here is, there are two different aspects or two different forms of kilayim. But I say, what are the two different forms of kilayim? Ulafuki mid Rabbi Yoshia. But I say, watch, it's actually quite fascinating. Then Rabbi Yoshia, Achi Yizra, Chita, Usaora, Vigefen, V'chartzan, Mapolis Yad. But Rabbi Yoshia is of the opinion, it's actually very interesting, that it's only called kilayim if what? If you sow, Chita, Rabbi Yoshia, is wheat. Sora is barley, chartzon is grape seed. Only if you sow those three things together is that called kilayim. Kamash malon, the Bryce is coming to teach us. Techizora chita v'chartzon, sora v'chartzon, nami mechayiv. The boss is actually quite interesting. So now what we're coming to learn is that what we'll say, what's the chiddush? The chiddush is that we don't pass in that way. Or the Gemara says we don't pass in that way. That even if you just took a wheat seed and a grape seed, bless you, or a barley seed and a grape seed, that halacha lemaisa, that's called kilayim as well. So in other words, stated otherwise, how? That what's the din of kilayim? Any wheat kernel with grape seed ultimately is kilayim. You don't need both wheat and barley together with the grape seed, only one. And therefore, the Bryce is teaching, Abba says, that's what? That if I went ahead and I sowed grape seed with a wheat seed, and then grape seed with a barley seed, what's the halacha? What's the halacha? I'm chayiv twice. But Rabbi say, now that's not such a chiddush. Why am I chayiv twice? Because really it's two different acts. Good. So the Gemara goes weiter. Toshma. Acho mizek kizayis, u mizek kizayis, sofeg shmonim. Rabbi Huda omer eno sofeg elamem. So we'll say, new case. What's talacha? We'll say, so this actually is getting into an interesting case. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Acham izekizais, mishne git hanoshel shel shtei yerechos, shabeim achas. So we'll say, watch this. I'm a git guy, right? So what happens? I eat from the git hanoshel on the right side, the git hanoshel on the left side. Eat a kizais of each git hanoshel. So we'll say, what does Rabbi Yehuda say? Halacha lemaisa. Right, so I'm sorry. So the first opinion says sofek shmonim, you get 80 malchus. Rabbi Yehuda says you only get 40 malchus. So we'll say now, watch this. This is actually quite interesting. So why does Rabbi Yehuda say only get 40 malchus? Look at Rashi Arboim. Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei domar parakid anoshe eino noik ela ba'ela achas. So we'll say this is actually quite amazing. Rabbi Yehuda, we're going to see this in parakid anoshe. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the prohibition of git hanoshe does not apply to both sciatic nerves. Rather, it only applies to one of them. To one of them. The Rabbi is saying, now the tricky part is going to be what? It's a suffix, which one? We're going to see this. So Rabbi says, now watch this. I have the Tanakhama telling me that halacha l'maaseh, if I eat two giddin, then what's the halacha? 80. Why 80? She's very posh. Why? They're both git hanoshe. Right, they're both git hanoshe. It's two different prohibitions of git hanoshe. Rabbi Yehuda is saying, I'm only chayiv arba. One set of malchus. Says the Gemara, one second. Hechidim, what's the case? Ilema b'zeh achar zeh u'b'shtei asros. If you want to say, the Rabbi will say it's two independent acts of eating, and I got hasra'ah before each of them, so I'm about to eat the left gid. Witnesses tell me, don't eat the left gid, it's git hanoshe. And I eat it anyway. Then, I'm about to eat the right gid. Don't eat the git hanoshe. It's git hanoshe. And I eat it anyway. So we'll say, why she asks, my time is Rabbi Yehuda. Ultimately, again, what's Rabbi Yehuda's logic? That I'm only getting 40 malchus. Watch this. So we'll say, you know what? These gemaras are very exciting. Because the truth is, what it does is, it brings in like a whole bunch of different topics into one. It's like you hit like the Talmudic bonus round. You know what I'm saying? Because we were on one subject, now we get all of this. So watch this. So it's amazing. Because Rabbi Yehuda will say, Hasra Safik. Wow. We'll say, remember, we've had this many times. What's Hasra Safik? But we'll say, in general, in order to be chayiv for something, what do you need? Right? What do you need? I need witnesses, and I need Hasra. I need warning. But I will say, what kind of Hasra do I need? I need definitive warning. What does that mean? As opposed to Hasra Safik. So I will say, here we go. Rabbi Yehuda will say as follows. Rabbi Yehuda paskins, and again, we'll develop this more fully when we get to this sugya in the Gemara. But Rabbi Yehuda holds the prohibition of git hanoshe only applies to one of the gidin. What are we a bit mesupak about? Which one? So watch this. I'm going to eat both of the gidin. So what's the case? The case is I'm about to eat the left one. Witnesses give me asra. I eat it. I'm about to eat the left one. Witnesses give me hasra and I eat it. Rabbi Yehuda says, at most you only chayiv once. Why? Because ultimately, again, he holds it's hasra's safek. So he says, hasra's safek means that what? That Allah lemaisa, that it's non-definitive hasra. So he will say, hasra has to be, if you do X, you will be chayiv. If the hasra is, if you do X, you may be chayiv. That's not called Hasra. So we'll say, watch this. This Sanya, here we go. Hika azeh, v'chazer v'hika azeh, kilo azeh, v'chazer v'kilo azeh. Now watch this case. This is actually an interesting case. Look at Rashi. We'll say, this is like wild. Hika azeh v'lo hika azeh. We'll say, here we go. Mi shalosha sa'achar gita shalosha chadasha. We'll say, get ready for this. The halacha is that after a woman gets divorced, she is supposed to wait 3 months before getting remarried. Why? We'll say so because, again, to know that if she becomes pregnant, whose kid it's going to be. Right? So what happens? A woman gets divorced. She doesn't wait. She gets remarried immediately after getting her get. What happens? Vinises viyolda. Then she gives birth. Safek ben tishla rishon, safek ben shivala acharon. So I'll say, now watch this. So she gets married a month later. She gives birth. So we'll say, it's a shayla. Is this a seventh month baby, right? The seventh month child of husband number one? Or I should say, sorry, is this the 9 month child of ex-husband? Or is this the 7th month child, ultimately again, of present husband? We'll say, can you imagine this? So I'll say, so what happens? Now we'll say, gets better. Mazel tov, boy's born, he grows up. What happens? He punches both of these guys. Like, wow, sounds like a Jerry Springer show, right? So what happens? So he goes ahead and he punches both of them, or he curses both of them. So I say, so now what's the Shaila? So the Shaila is he chayiv for punching his father? So remember again, we're not sure, is guy number one his father, right? Or is guy number two his father? Like, who's your daddy, right? Right, the imam is like, you know, who's the father over here? And now what happens? He did something that halacha l'maisa, again, is a biblical prohibition that carries with it a din of misa. So the shayla over here is he chayiv or not? So watch this. Hika azeh, the chazer v'hika azeh. Or Rabbi say, what happens? He hits them both at once. He curses them both at once. So what's Tanocha? Chayiv. So the Tanakama holds ultimately again that he's Chayiv. Rabbi Huda says, no, it depends. Rashi says over here, Chayiv dasras vadahi. So the Rabbanon will say ultimately again that halacha lemaisa, he's chayiv. Why? Because there was hasra, and one thing we know for sure, which is what? One of them is his father. So we'll say we know with absolute certainty that he cursed his father. He don't know which one, but you know one of the two. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, here we go. Bebas achas chayiv. If you hit them both at the same time, or you went ahead and what? You curse them both at the same time, then halacha lemaisa you will be chayiv. Rashi says, "Bebas achos davi asras vaday." The comment on a comment sofik shwana. So let's listen to this. If you hit them both at the same time, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, bebas achos chayiv. Beze achar ze potter. I will say if it was one after the other, then what? You'll be potter. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda Lishitaso says that what if it's ze achar ze? I will say then what do you run into the problem? Hasra sofik. Therefore, again, you'll be potter. Ela pshita bebasach. So we'll say, therefore, again, now we'll say, you thought Gid Hanosha was exciting. Now we go to the paternity case. It's more exciting. Now back to Gid Hanosha. Therefore, we'll say, what you have to say is, in the case of Gid Hanosha, they were talking about a case of basachos, where ultimately, again, everything is taking place at once. Ubasra achos. And one hasra for eating both of the Gidin. Uman Tanakamo, who is a Tanakamo? If you want to say it's the Rabbanon who argue on Sumchos, Hashto, Uma Hosam the Gufin Mechulakin, Pachi Rabbanon. Rabbosa, in the case of where you have Gufin Mechulakin, which Rabbosa means separate entities, the Rabbanon argue on Sumchos, Hachalokol Shekin, all the more so, they're going to argue over here. Elav Sumchosu. He, rather, you have to say reflexive of Sumchos, to which the Gemara said, lo. Li'olam b'zeh achar zeh. In reality, we are talking about a case of consecutive prohibitions. V'rabbanon. Therefore, reflects the view of the Rabbanon. V'hai tana sovar lo ki'idach tana d'Rabbi Yehuda. And we'll say, this tana holds like the other version according to Rabbi Yehuda. D'amar hasra safek shma hasra. Rabbi will say, in that version, right, there is another alternative opinion who says that hasra's safek is hasra. Rabbi say, where do we see that Hasra Safik is? Rabbi said, this is actually interesting, but this we're going to end. The Sanyo. Lo sosiru mimeno ad boker, vanose mimeno ad boker ba ish tesof. Rabbi said, Karban Pesach. The halacha is, you are not permitted to leave over anything of the Karban Pesach until the next morning. And if one goes ahead and leaves over until the next morning, ba ish tisrofu. Ultimately, again, you have to burn in the fire. Now look at the last Rashi in the daf. Ba ish tisrofu. Aso asehu. Rabbi Yosef, remember again, this is a positive commandment. Bilav shenitak la'asei ein lokin alav, famosir bepesach pater. So Rabbi Yosef, remember again, this is what's called a lav hanitak la'asei, which is a lav which is remedied by an asei. So the lav is leaving over. The asei is burn it. So therefore, again, as long as you burn it, you've remedied the ase. Alav hanitak la'ase is not subject to malchus. Top of pei gimel amud aleph. Ba kos of litain ase achar lo sase. The pasuk is coming to give me a positive commandment on top of the prohibition. Lomer shein lokin al derebi hu. Tell me that ultimately, again, you don't get malchus, I will say, for leaving over the current Pesach. Rabbi Yaakov omer lo min hashem huzeh. Ultimately, again, the Rabbah say the reason you don't get malchus for leaving over the Karan Pesach is why? Because it's a love that has no action. The only time you get malchus, Rabbah says, when you do something for inaction, you don't get the malchus. The act of leaving over Karan Pesach is inaction. Therefore, no malchus. So Rabbah says, so what does this have to do with anything? See, here's what's amazing. What do you see from this, Rabbah say? What you see from this is, were this not to be, it's very exciting, were this not to be a lav hanitak la'ase, or were this not to be a lav she'im bo maisa, Rabbah say, what do you see? You would get what? You would get malchus for what? For leaving over Karan Pesach. But the Gemara just did is as follows. Do you get malchus for leaving over Karan Pesach? Do you get malchus? No. Why not? Two possibilities. Either because it's a lav that is remedied by an assay. What's the assay? Burn it. Or because it's a lav she'in b'maisa. What's the in b'maisa? You don't do anything. I'm going to say, how do you violate this lav? Like that, right? I just sit there. I don't do anything. That's how I violate the lav. But what do you see from here? We're not because of one of those technical issues. Technically speaking, Imran is, had it not been a lav hanitak la'asei, for example, had the Torah not given an asei, but the Torah just said a lav that if you leave over Karan Pesach, right, it's also, then what? I would get malchus. Now, we'll say, now this is interesting. We'll say, now, let's play this out. In order to get malchus or something, what do you have to get? Hasra. What kind of hasra would you get for this kind of lav? Don't leave over Karan Pesach. And we'll say, when does that hasra come about? Sometime beforehand. Rabbi say, that is a Hasra's Suffolk. That is Hasra's Suffolk. Why is it Hasra's Suffolk, Rabbi say? I see you sitting around drinking your Arba Kosos. Now what do I tell you? I tell you, remember, right, and I bring a friend with me, remember, we're both telling you, don't leave our Karan Pesach past the morning. I'm giving you Hasra. But that's Hasra's Suffolk. Why is that Hasra's Suffolk? Maybe you will leave it over. Maybe you won't leave it over. There's still time to burn it. But yet, Rabbi say, we see that technically speaking, such a surah would have worked. In other words, Rabbi say, there would have been an easier reason to say that Allah HaLamaisi never get malchus for leaving over Karan Pesach, which is why? Because it'll always be a surah suffik. Yet we don't say that. We say the reason you won't get malchus for leaving over Karan Pesach is why? Because either it's a lav hanitak la'asei or lav she'im o'maisa. The fact that we employ those mechanisms and leave that a surah suffik indicates to us what? That Allah HaLamaisa, there is an opinion who holds that Asra's Safek still Shmei Hasra. So we'll have to stop over here for today and understand we're still leaving off in the midst of this dramatic machlokus between Sumchus ultimately and the Rabbanus. Remember how we started this machlokus. We started this machlokus in a very specific context of Osovi Espino. I shecht the grandmother, I shecht the granddaughter. Am I in violation of anything? No. I then shecht who? The sandwich generation animal. The daughter of animal number one, the mother of animal number two. What happens when I shecht that animal? I say to the Rabbanon, say, chayiv once. I write 40 malchus. Sumcha says, 80 malchus. Two prohibitions. Why? I violated Osovi Espino twice. I've shechted the daughter of animal number one, the mother of animal number three, and therefore I'm chayiv twice. So we'll say this triggers a fundamental machlokes, which is Sumchus holds that halacha lemaisa. You could be chayiv multiple prohibitions through one act that is committed in one lapse and apparently through what? With one hasra. How now does Sumchus go ahead and hold that in other circumstances? Is that something unique over here? So we've seen again, it seems to be that he holds it ultimately by chaylev. So we'll say, but again, we begin to see that Allah HaLamaisa, this really creates, or this brings up two major issues. Number one, the ability to go ahead and violate multiple prohibitions in one lapse of awareness, as well as whether or not Hasra's Safek Shma Hasra or not. I will say the resolution of both of these dramatic topics, Bishal Tov Mitzlachos, tomorrow morning. Shkoyach.